Right. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing for us. We thank you, Lord, for this night. We ask, Lord, that you lead us and guide us tonight into the things that you'd have us to speak and talk about. And we thank you for that, Lord. Let us be led by your Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for an open heaven. I thank you here that you are knitting our hearts together with that gold cord that Kurt talked about so often. And that you're not only knitting our hearts together with that gold cord, you're pulling it tight with us and you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we know that when we pray that our prayers are answered. And we thank you for the authority that you've given us in your word in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. That you've given us authority over all. It doesn't say some of it, it says all of it. All the power of the enemy. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you so much, Lord, for cleaning us up, getting us ready for this great time ahead. I know it's going to be a trying time for a lot, but for your bride, it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, I come against this attack on Grace. In Jesus' name, I command this spirit off of her. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. You leave her now in the name of Jesus. And you take the pain with you. And I command you by the power and the blood of Jesus to not come back in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that she is healed, delivered, and set free. In Jesus' name, and I command that tumor to dry up and go in the name of Jesus. And I command that that tooth to dry up and be healed in the name of Jesus. And every spirit of infirmity in there, go in the name of Jesus and take all your symptoms with you. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing power upon everything that the enemy has tried to take from her right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that she is healed, delivered, and set free by the power and the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Father, for that. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Ooh, we thank you, Father, that it is done. Amen. You're healed. You're healed by the power of the blood of Jesus, girl. Amen and amen. All right. Has anybody else got a prayer request? Everybody believe what I just prayed for Grace. Amen. Thank you, Father. It is done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's got a prayer request now. We'll get some more here. God's on the move tonight. He's on the move. Just got through listening to That's My King. Glory to God. Yeah, go ahead, Megan.
Yes, I need a prayer request for one of my co-worker. She contracted COVID, and one of her relatives got it too, and she has passed away and had a funeral Saturday. So I asked you for prayer for her and her family.
Okay. What's her name?
Marilyn.
Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Marilyn and her family, and we thank you, Lord, for your peace in their hearts, Lord, about this relative that's died. And Father, we ask for a time of reflecting about where they are with you, Lord, and that you would draw them closer to you. If they're not yours, Lord, bring them in. We ask that the Lord of Harvest send workers out there to bring them in, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for doing this for Marilyn and Megan in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Julie.
I just want to add to that. Father, we thank you for Megan and bringing her coworker here to pray for her. And we lift up Megan to you, to the throne of grace. And Heavenly Father, you know Megan's heart. Megan, is Marilyn a believer?
Yes, she's a believer.
Okay, good, good. Well, Father, your word says that those who... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. He's also took the COVID shot. He recently recovered.
Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Marilyn to you. Lord, she's a believer. And according to your word, those who believe in Jesus, they're entitled to all the benefits of the kingdom. And we just come together with faith and for Marilyn, and we command every symptom of this COVID to leave her body. And we command any harmful effects of the injections to leave her body, that she is not to be harmed by any of these poisons that have come into her. In Jesus' name, we command all that to be null and void. And Lord, we just pray and believe that what she received, just a placebo, that she is not going to suffer any adverse effects or reactions to it. And we pray, Father, you just draw Megan and her coworker closer to you, Lord, and that Marilyn is drawn to you for answers, Lord, and that you comfort her and her family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for just covering them with the blood of Jesus and your protection on them, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Megan, we're having trouble. Your audio is not having doing anything if you're trying to talk. It was just making a little spitting noise.
I think I pressed the wrong number. I'm sorry.
I didn't understand that. Go ahead and do it again.
I mute myself.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, go ahead. All right, anyone else got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report? You're welcome. You be healed, girl. Yeah, Isaac, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a prayer request. We heard a helicopter come above our house. They're pretty close. And, you know, we hear it, and it's like it's not going away. I'm like, what's going on? And so it lands, like, just down the street, the same street we live on. And we walk outside and see what's going on. And we walk over and look. And I guess somebody got hit hard. It's like a two-way stop, and there's a road to go straight across. And they probably got hit driver's side doors 60 miles per hour. And, you know, I guess they used Jaws of Life, got the fella out of there and put him in the helicopter. And, you know, there was loved ones around and all that. It was really sad. But, you know, I'm assuming he's alive, you know, being ahead of the helicopter. But I prayed that he would make it or come to know Christ somehow. And God be agreeable. I appreciate it. Just however, you know, Paul, what did Paul say? One man planteth, another man watereth, God giveth the increase, that it won't be too late, that somehow, some way, he can hear this message of the truth, you know, and Lord, do whatever he's going to do with it. I appreciate it.
Okay, Lord, we just pray for this man. Don't know who he is. You do. We ask, Lord, if he's not saved, that you bring him back to life if he's in that bad of shape, in Jesus' name, that he would be able to accept you and come into the kingdom In Jesus' name, we command that spirit of death off of him right now. In Jesus' name, we command that spirit of infirmity off of him in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, he is healed, delivered, and set free, that by the time the helicopter stops, they're going to wonder what happened because they thought he was in bad shape. And Lord, we thank you that this man is healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the good report. Thank you, Lord. I remember that time that David ran across that wreck where a guy got T-boned. And he went out there and prayed for him. He said there was just, he'd killed enough deer that he'd seen this blood and knew that it was his lungs, you know, he knew he was dead. Anyway, he prayed for him. They come and got him. He prayed for him. He commanded him to come back to life. He came back to life. And they took him to the hospital. David called over there later to find out about him. And they said, oh, he's already gone home. He's okay. He's fine. He said he couldn't be. He said he had a puddle of blood there you could have put in a bucket. He said, I don't know what you're talking about, but that guy's gone home. He's okay. That's a miracle working God we got, I'm telling you. Amen. And this guy's the same way. They're going to get there and they're going to wonder why they sent a helicopter out to him. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Ooh, glory to God. We got a God that is so awesome. I don't know about y'all, but I can get fired up. Can y'all get fired up? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Some of you get out of those old cold dead churches. All right. Who's next? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment there about Steve. Steve's looks like he's sitting at the end of the rainbow. I'm just wondering if there's a Does anybody else see that?
Oh, man. That was surreal.
For the pot of gold. I got the mic. I've been talking back and forth with my sister. She lives in Washington. For specifically about the Lord and bringing up Bible verses and I think she's like the rest of everybody else. We're all digging ourselves out of deception, but obviously the key is to be listening to the Lord as he pulls us through this, matrix or whatever you want to call it of deception that has been woven by the world for the last 6,000 years or whatever. Anyway, I just want, I'd like to pray for, her name is Shelley, and just to pray that the Lord would break through the deception and start to provide clarity to her, to understanding, and allow her to see the Lord, allow her to see the truth, allow the Lord Jesus to be revealed to her so that, so many times I think when we talk about, we talk to people and specifically if we say we're a Christian, that brings up a picture or an image in their mind, whatever that is, could be anything, but it brings up an image. And she's functioning off of an image that is not correct of the Lord. And so I just wanted to pray and ask everybody to agree with me. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom and the faith that you've given us all, Lord, to to be able to direct our prayers effectively into the lives of others. Lord, we thank you that if you have stirred somebody's heart to question the things of the heaven, of the heavenlies, of the spirit, that is an opening. Obviously, it's an opening the devil wants to use many times, but it's also an opening that shows that people are inwardly hungering to know the truth. And Lord, you are the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So, Father, I just ask you, would you open up Shelley's eyes? I bind that spirit of deception, a spirit of pride, a spirit of knowing it all, a spirit of fear that would force her to find her own protection, to form her own barriers and her own protection for herself in her life. Lord, I just pray that you would break through that. It only takes one strategic lie to crumble to bring us into a new desire and a new understanding. And so, Lord, I just ask that for Shelley, that you would give her grace and give her a spirit of repentance, give her a spirit of seeking you to know the true and living God. We thank you for it. Lord, give us grace here to live up to what you're showing us, what you're showing me, and even the things that Michael was speaking about this week, about letting your voice be known, making the Lord known in all of our ways, and you will direct our paths. And so, Lord, I just ask you to give us grace and fill us with your Holy Spirit to do exactly that, just to walk with you, walk where you're taking us, and walk in the victory that you have provided us in Jesus. And so I just ask that blessing for Shelley as well, and all of my immediate family. I just pray the same, Lord. My brother, my family, my wife, my children, all of those, Lord, we just thank you and claim the household salvation that you have provided us in your word, in Jesus. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with that it is happening even as we speak. Thank you, Father, for a new infant and for everybody in here in Jesus' name. Lord, we can use more of you, so much more of you, Lord, that there's nothing left of us left, that it's all you. We thank you for it, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. And we praise you, Father, for doing it for each and everybody here in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord, for doing it. I want more of you, Lord. I want to know. I want to experience you in such a way, and I know everybody, and I'll just speak for everybody, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that when we talk, we speak like you, because you're telling us all the time, say this, say that, do this, do that. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And the power of God walks with us too, that everywhere we go, all we have to do is just know and trust, Lord, that you're right behind us. You're right in us, and your promises will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. And each and every one of us, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, my. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Geneva.
I just want to thank the Lord today. Found out that, well, Isaac texted me this morning. I guess some guys at work were talking about that. Praise the Lord, our governor here in Florida passed a bill, law, whatever you want to call it, that no businesses or anything can force mandated vaccines. And thank you. So thank you, Jesus. And if if they try to make you show your vaccine passport, then that's a $5,000 fine per employee. So I know, and me and Isaac, when we were talking about it, and Morgan too, when we were talking about it last week, we were all praying, and I was like, we said a prayer that the Lord would use the governor to do something, and all glory to the Lord, obviously, but, you know, he definitely used him to do something, and I haven't heard anything about it at work yet, because I think it just happened, but I am very, very happy. I had some pep in my step today. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering prayer, Father. I need to get this mess thrown out of here. In Jesus' name, let this be the first, not the last. There'll be 50 other states that follow suit. Go ahead, Missy.
I was just going to pray about that, that it be taken to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court make a ruling, Lord, that it cannot be mandated, and that there's ramifications for anyone that may get fired for not having taken it and trying to force it or whatever, but that there will be laws and consequences to try and enforce people. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that, for passing a law across the land through the Supreme Court. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but a mandate does not supersede the laws of the land. It does not. And people need to know that. You can stand up for your rights. I know they may put you in jail for a while, but once you take it across, once you take it to court and they try that, it's over. It's over. Okay, let's see. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, hi everyone. I had a prayer request for my grandmother, Frank's grandmother. She's 97 years old and she lives by herself right now. But she has a lot of hallucinations and she's always hearing voices and thinking people are up on the roof, down in the basement, in the closet, all kinds of things. And so she is calling the police all the time, and she's been in the hospital every other day, and it's just really a mess. But she lives about an hour and a half away from us. And my cousin, Frank's cousin, is right there in Midland where she is. So he kind of tries to take care of her, but he's not very reliable. And he's a mess too. He drinks a lot, and it's just, I don't know, it's a mess. But he has divided the family. Like, she doesn't talk to her son anymore because of Frank's cousin. It's all complicated. So anyway, she has to be out of her house by the end of September. She's got a lease with the community center and they're going to tear her house down. So she needs to move out. And the other cousins can't really get involved to help her because the one cousin is controlling everything. And so I don't know, I want to get involved and help, but I'm just trying to stay back and let him do what he has to do. And just as long as grandma's safe and happy, then I'm just going to let him take care of it. But it's just hard because she's been such a blessing to us her whole life. She's just been such a faithful believer in Christ and just a lovely lady, just beautiful and so sweet. And it's just hard to see her go through all this and not be able to help her. So I'm just praying and trusting that the Lord will guide on how to, when to get involved and when to step back and let the cousin handle it. And just praying that he'll protect her and just take care of her for her faithfulness over the years.
What did you say? She's hallucinating?
Yeah, she has a lot of, you know, urinary tract infections, and those, I think that's kind of what causes a lot of hallucinations. And like, she jumped out of a window and climbed a fence and jumped over a fence to get away from somebody. She's 97 years old.
You go, girl.
She's quite amazing. Well,
let's pray for her. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this spirit of infirmity off of her. You go from her right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your cleansing touch upon her brain to cleanse all that garbage out of it. We thank you, Father. She can think clearly now. And her body is healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that she is healed. What's her name?
Marjorie Justice.
Okay, Marjorie, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. She's going to continue being a great friend and delight for everybody in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Marjorie. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Go ahead, Claire.
I couldn't find myself, but I found myself now. It's okay. I would just like to offer a praise report. I had my homeschool visit on Tuesday, which I'm sure, well, I don't know how it works in other countries, but here you have to have a homeschool visit annually to get sort of permission to homeschool your children. And it's very easy in this state. We don't have to align to any curriculum or anything, so we can do what we want, but we still, the report that we have to write is quite lengthy. And I was quite anxious because the lady who usually comes didn't come. It was a new lady. And so I'd asked the brethren to pray. And it was just a really, really amazing experience on Tuesday. It was a young girl that came who was homeschooled herself. And she was just a blessing. She just thought that what I'm doing is so wonderful. And she kept on saying, I wish I was taught this, taught like this. And she was just really sweet. And I want to offer a prayer for her because she was brought up in a Christian home and she's not walking that way now. And I would like to pray for her because she was such a blessing for me. So, Father, thank you so much for letting us just by following the rules of the land, because we know that we have to die to the flesh, Lord, to be worthy in your kingdom. So thank you for giving me the humility to follow the rules of the land and to do this thing, which is hard and inconvenient. And in that, Lord, there was such blessing on Tuesday. In submitting to the requests of the authorities, there was such blessing and there was such love and such peace. And Father, I'm praying for Marietta, and I would like the saints to agree with me that whatever she was taught in her upbringing as a young girl, if there's truth in what she was taught, Lord, that it would stick to her heart, that she would feel that burden of truth, which is such a wonderful burden to bear, and that if there was any leaven and any traditions of men, that it would fall to the wayside and she would forgive and forget all of that, but run towards you, Lord, with a reckless abandon to be a disciple of Jesus. And Father, I pray for the person she's currently living with to come to that same realization. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring them to repentance. I pray that your grace would be big enough for them both to be drawn into the kingdom together at the same time so that they can walk this road of being a Methetes, a follower of Christ together for your glory, Lord, for no one else's, and for them who are talking about having children to do it in the way that is God-honoring and God-fearing, so that when she becomes a mom, she has no guilt, she has no shame, she can walk upright before you, Lord, and she can consecrate her children in the truth and the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Father, this is my prayer for this woman, that you would touch her heart and you would help her on the road to salvation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, bringing them to you in. Praise, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. It's done. That girl's coming in with her hubby. Or they're going to get married, too. All right. Yeah, that's awesome. Go ahead, Fio or Lana.
Hi, everyone. Hey, just want to share with everybody, since you all helped pray and upheld my buddy Jim, he's with the Lord now. This morning, he passed away, and his wife texted me when I sent him a good morning text. And she's been married to him for 51 years. So she's really taking it hard. I imagine anybody would have, you know, that's a long time to be together. So if we could just pray for her and his daughters during this time. He has confessed the Lord. His heart was in the right place, I believe. We've prayed together multiple times, and I believe his heart was right where it needed to be. And the Lord just took him. So first day of hospice, right? And so we thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, that Jim's home now. He's in a lot better shape, a whole lot better shape. We thank you for that, Father. We ask, Lord, that you put peace into his wife's heart also. Jim's going to be fine. And she's going to be fine, too. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Draw her closer to you, Father. Give her a hunger for the word. Bring her in there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
She really liked the real good news. It arrived probably 2 days before he passed away, and they were both reading it together. And she said she'd finish it, and she really enjoyed it. So awesome. I'm exciting too. Yeah, they have Sovereign God. They're reading the real good news. So I have another prayer request as well to uphold another family. Probably 30 minutes after I heard about Jim's passing, I got another text that my cousin passed away in Colorado. He's an 18-year-old kid and had a heart attack. He had a heart problem. I don't know what it's called, but he did have a heart problem growing up. And in the middle of class last night, he got a heart attack, and they couldn't revive him. So that hit us this morning as well. So that's my dad's brother, my dad's youngest brother, his youngest son, Eddie. So if we could pray for them as well, please.
Okay, they're all Christians, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Father, we just thank you for bringing them all closer to you during this time of need, and that your Holy Spirit would wash over them with peace and joy that this young man is with you. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. I know it's hard when you lose a young child like that, an 18-year-old boy especially. But Lord, replace it with your love. We thank you for doing that for Phil's uncle, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody else want to pray? But it is done in Jesus' name. We declare it, decree it. Okay. Yes, Claire.
I just want to pray for Fio and his family. Like, I feel like they are going through a lot right now. Lord, thank you so much for Leo and Fio and Elena and all their spouses and their parents and their in-laws. Father, you are doing a great work in this microcosm of believers. And Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on them and give this very large extended family supernatural peace and a deep yearning for the truth, Lord, because it seems like that is what is required in these times. Father, we love this family. They're a blessing to us. And we pray that they will continue to be a blessing to you, Lord, in the way that they live, in the way that they love. And we know that they can do all of those things through Christ who strengthens them. And we just pray that they are strengthened in this time with the one who is always weak when we are, or always strong when we are weak. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your angels all about this family and bringing them together. We command any kind of division, divisiveness to go in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that this family is coming together in you. And we thank you for it, Father, for your love that's going to permeate throughout this whole family in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe it. Thank you, Claire. That's good. And I believe it too. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else got a prayer request or a praise report? Testimony? Instrumental song? Go ahead, Ed. Hit the mute button. No sign language? Yeah. Got it, man. Got it. Yeah. You want to unmute? Let me see if I can do this. I can't do it. They won't let me, but I'm going to do this. Yeah, you got it now. Go ahead. I started to mute you again, but no, I better not do that. Well, we can't hear you, though. You got your microphone on? We are waiting in excited anticipation. No pressure. All right, while you're fixing that, I'm going to see what Lana wants. Go ahead, Leo, Theo.
I just want to thank you guys for the prayers, and my voice is coming back. It's just about 99. It's 100%. Amen. And this little cough that I have is also gone in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace on us for everything. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'd like to pray real quick for Fiona's family. Father, thank you for allowing this wonderful Christian family in our midst. They're such a blessing to all of us. And Lord, we're coming alongside with them. We're I've had enough of them being beat up here. And Lord, I'm asking you to do something about this, to step in, to bless them, not to let this ravage your lives anymore. All these things that are happening around them, Father, it's drawing them and making them stronger. But at the same time, Lord, we're asking that you bless them now. Bless them mightily. Come alongside them. Give them more grace and abounding love that you can just fill them up and cast off any evil works and assignments from the enemy now. It's been coming up against this family and against their loved ones, Father. We do not receive you. We cast you off. You've got to go. We are tired of seeing you having any kind of any kind of anything with this family, you're gone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command you to go. We command nothing but blessings on this family. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? All right, go ahead, Edwin.
Can you guys hear us now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
We moved to a different computer. Hopefully this works better. We just want to, we've got a praise report. About 2 months ago, we wanted to go to South Australia for a visit of old friends and just for a holiday. We haven't been on holiday for almost 2 years. So we asked the Lord one morning if we can go, and by faith at random, he said yes, and we booked tickets straight away. But then after that, all lockdowns and stuff started reoccurring in Australia, so there was some doubt in that. But we had faith that because God said we can go, that the borders will open when we should go. So we just kept on believing that. Even the guys that we're going to go to, we have meetings with them every Wednesday where we do Bible study together. They started doubting it and saying things like we should start telling the kids that we probably aren't going to go and visit them. But we just said, well, we asked the Lord and he said we can go. So we believe that we're going to go. So we're not going to tell the kids that. About a week before we were planning to go, the borders to South Australia actually opened. So we were able to go, but coming back might still have been an issue. Tasmania is quite stringent. If there's even a hint of a cough or anything, then you have to go and isolate for 14 days in hotel quarantine. So there was always that, and we can only apply to come back a day before we actually come back. So we had to go in faith. We couldn't get a pass to come back until the day before we come back. The trip, everything was a great success. The weather was great. We went to Adelaide first for the first few days, and the sun was shining until the day that we left Adelaide, and then it started raining there. So that was quite great for us, especially coming from the west coast of Tasmania where it never stops raining. So just to see a bit of sun was a blessing. Then when we went into the outback to visit our friends, it wasn't too hot there. I think we got the week before it was in the 30s and the wind was blowing so much that you even can't even go outside apparently. And our friends just messaged us yesterday, and that same wind is back. The kids can't go outside to play because they basically blow away and the sand everywhere. So while we were there, there was no wind. We actually went into the desert and had a barbecue inside the desert in the sand, kids playing there. So weather was just perfect for us. On our way back, when we wanted to apply for that return visa or return pass to come back into Tasmania, there was a few places where there was people with coronavirus. So if you were there at the same time, then it would have meant that you have to go into quarantine for 14 days. And one of the places that we actually were, where we had lunch on our way back to Adelaide, there was a trucker there with coronavirus just half an hour before we were there. And on our way to that stop, it's a 6-hour drive. So that was about halfway, 3 hours from Roxby Downs. We decided we wanted to go and see a site, a salt lake, a salt pan on our way. And we went there. So that was about an hour delay. And coming into the town where this stop is, we first tried to go to a different service station. And when we stopped there, we couldn't find a petrol pump that would fit my friend's car. So we spent about 10 minutes driving around there to try to find something. And then eventually we went to the one we went to. All of this, I think the Lord just made sure that we were not there when that trucker was there, because when we filled it out, we missed him by about 10 minutes. All of that, just, I can't believe how amazing God is to make sure that everything went smoothly with no issues. On the way back from, so we landed in Tasmania about
8 o'clock at night.
8 o'clock at night. So, and I asked the Lord when we booked this, should I, because I knew we're going to land, we're going to arrive at 8 o'clock at night, and then driving in Tasmania at night is,
there's almost, lots of animals almost, on the roads.
Yeah, it's crazy. Everybody just say we were so crazy. So I asked, should we book a place to stay there tonight? And he said, no, drive back. So I just drove back, and we saw a lot of animals, probably 30 or 40 animals next to the road, but not one of them
went onto the road,
ran in front of the car or something. And usually they just, if they see light, they like us, they just love light, they just run in front of the car. And none of them actually did that. All of them, and Andrea and I saw most of them.
Mm-hmm. It was like a night drive looking at animals. It was very fascinating, but it was just amazing that God sent his angels to keep these animals away from the car.
Yeah, so that's, I think I've covered everything.
Yeah. And I think another thing that happened, which was quite amazing, was there was one morning when we had to camp, and it was 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And my four-year-old was crying because her hands were so cold. And I was looking for something to wipe her nose with, and I looked in her pockets, and there were gloves. And I firmly believe that God just left those gloves for me to give to her to be able to get to be warm. It was just amazing. So, yeah, it was just, we really, really blessed holiday. And yeah, we just could just see God in every little situation. So yeah, thank you, God.
That's it.
Awesome. I gotta ask the question. How do you get over to Australia? Do you, is there a bridge or is there a boat or what? How do you get over it?
Well, there's a boat that you can take to Melbourne, or you can just fly. So we can't take the boat because the boat goes to Melbourne, and obviously once you go into Melbourne, you can't get out at the moment because they're under lockdown. So we flew from Hobart straight to Adelaide.
Okay. I had to ask. They ought to put a bridge across there. Wooden bridge. Swinging bridge. All right. Anybody else? That's a good testimony. I'd like to see them critters. Oh, I bet y'all got some weird-looking critters. Varmints. I know you got one. You got that devil I've been seeing on cartoons. I know you just busting to say something, Claire. Go ahead.
Don't talk about Rian that way.
Oh, okay. Oh boy.
But also, it wasn't us that didn't have the faith for them, right? Like, we were faithing it all the way. We knew they'd be fine. We trusted that the Lord let them go. So yeah, we're very happy for them. Blessed that they had such a good time. You should see them. They've got smiles from ear to ear. It's beautiful to see what a holiday does for people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hey, Daniel. What do you say, Brodus?
Hi.
Hi.
Michael.
Hi, buddy.
Hi.
Hi. He's in a hurry. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Carol, go ahead.
Hi. I don't know how to formulate it, but what I do want to say is I want to trust God more with my whole situation with work and being on a progressive return. I found out today that the insurance company has denied my payments and I'd have to work up a whole case, but I really want to trust God with this. And so I thought I should just ask the brethren to pray that I overcome any kind of anxiety. God has been there and has shown up and has done amazing things. But when, I guess when our finances and I support myself, well, God supports me, but it shook me a bit today. And the particular job, I think I mentioned this to you, is very stressful. So I think that's why I'm on a progressive return. I still have those abdominal pains, Michael, on and off. So we're working through this. So that's it. I do believe, and I'm just releasing this in faith to you all, because I know God brought me to such beautiful people. I have been waiting for this, and I'm here, and I'm so grateful. So there, I'm being brave, and I'm launching it out to you all, and bless you.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just ask that you do that. Yeah, put her in the rest. Rest it. She can trust you to fulfill the promises that she's asked for. And we praise you for it, Father. We kind of talked about this yesterday, Lord, in our Bible study. And it was a good talk. And it was out of that faith for all things that we're into. And Lord, we just ask right now that you bring Carol into that rest and trust. That's what we're doing. We're just trusting you, because we know that you're a sovereign God, and everything that you do is made for mature us in you, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. And just, she's going to see the victory. She's going to be an overcomer. In Jesus' name, we declare it, decree it. And everybody in here said amen for Carol. She's going to be an overcomer in the rest. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for putting peace in her heart. What she's going to do it, and she's just trusting you, Lord. And I know that the times that I've laid this stuff on your altar, that you have put a peace in my heart too. And I ask that you do that for Carol in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, buddy.
And Lord, we command the spirit of anxiety off Carol right now. You have to go. You do not come back. You don't cause any ill effects on her body. You're not allowed. And Carol, anytime you feel it, you cast that spirit of anxiety off. You tell it to go in the name of Jesus, and we're in agreement with it. It has to go. It cannot come back. And you take authority over it also. And at the same time, Lord, we ask that you give favor for her on this insurance situation, that they turn around, they change everything that they said, and they decide to cover all her expenses. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask this to be done, that this makes a big turnaround. Whatever the issue is, whatever the glitch is, it be resolved, that she has no expenses out of pocket, Father. Thank you, Father.
Go ahead, Pat.
Sorry, I couldn't find myself either. Father, thank you, Lord, for the situation that you've raised up in Carol's life. And thank you, Lord, that you teach us. We just ask you, Lord, to give Carol grace through this time, just to praise you and to thank you, give you thanks for all these things that are in her life, that you are making a way for her through this. And that way is in you, and resting in you, resting in your salvation within her. Lord, we ask you to unleash your salvation, unleash your rest, unleash your trust, and just a spirit of encouragement. Lord, we thank you that every time we seem to go through a stressful time, you lead us into that, what looks like a valley of shadow of death. And in that time, Lord, you do so to set us free, but also to give us understanding of these things that create the fears in our lives, that you want to destroy fear and any ability for fear to attach itself to us, because you are our Savior in all things. And I thank you for that, Lord. Just raise up a spirit of encouragement and excitement in Carol that you're taking her down this path, Lord, for a reason and for a perfect reason, to free her and to release the bonds, any kind of bonds that are straggling and hanging on there. Lord, you're stripping them away even now. And so I thank you for that. Fill her with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill her and strengthen her through this time. Give her, empower her with the faith and the rest and the comfort, just to relax and just to keep her eye upon you, Lord, and just to obey you. When you say move, move, and when you say stop, stop. Just to give her a comfort that you are in control of all things, and even in these situations will make their way clear, and that she will see the end when the truth and the revelation and the salvation exposes itself. She'll see it and be comforted even further. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing her along as well as us, Lord. Thank you for taking us through these same paths that we can encourage each other through this time. Thank you for being with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, the thought just came to me for Carol that you've taken away the insurance. Now she can rely on your assurance. And we thank you for it, Father. We just praise you that you're going to show her that you are her insurance from this point on. And not only that you will provide without having to pay any premiums. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Kara, showing that she can trust you, Lord. And we praise you for it. We're going to be looking for the testimony. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? I remember that story David told about when he took all his insurance policy into the insurance agent, gave him up, just blew the guy's mind that's doing it. He said, "You're going to do what?" He told him. He said he's going to believe God for his insurance from now on. And he had a Datsun station wagon. And this, I don't know if y'all remember those station wagons. Those things were made out of tin cans anyway. Anyway, he was parked in front of a convenience store. And he heard this loud boom crash going on outside. And he looked out the window and this guy in this great big tank Buick had run into his little old Datsun station wagon. And man, that Buick just wrapped around that Nissan. He said it looked like it just wrapped around it. And he went out there, and the guy's Buick was just caved in the front, just caved completely in. And David was looking at his car, and the guy was getting out of his Buick and looking at his car and looking at David's car and looking back at his car and looking back at David's car. He said, "How'd that happen?" And David said, "Well, it's God. It had to be God." Well, he didn't say that then. He had to run him down to tell him that. But anyway, he said the only thing that happened was a little bit of paint was on the lens of the back light. He had to scrape that off. That's the only thing that was wrong with it. Now, y'all remember them old big Buicks, don't you? Them things was, man, they were tanks. And he hit that little old Datsun car. And then nothing happened to that car. Just that little old piece of paint on it. And he said he forgot to tell him what happened. He had to run him down to the stoplight. He got down to the stoplight and he honked him over and went in there and told him. He said, "You know that was God, don't you?" He said, "It had to have been. It had to be." And that just doesn't happen. But anyway, that was David's insurance to assurance of God. It's a great story, and it took me out of the insurance business too. Amen. Yes, Isaac.
I I got a little praise report I just want to share real quick. So y'all know I was telling y'all I felt like I had quite the trial at work, because it's kind of like an ongoing issue since June. I didn't really have favors with some people because there's a lot of politics being played. Whatever. That's fine. I'm not really, honestly, I'm not that ambitious. I'm pretty happy where I'm at. But I was at work this last week. What was it? Tuesday. I was at work Tuesday. And I seen my boss. Now, he doesn't show up to the site very often because he's in Cincinnati. So I seen him, walking around, and I seen his boss, who's also in that office, but his boss is like regional manager over like the east side of the United States, And I know to respect my authorities, but I don't really care about the title. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, that's cool. They tell me to do something, I'll do it. But it's just, I'm telling you this to build the story. So, I was commissioning an area. They really didn't give me any time. They just said, hey, here's this huge whole bunch of conveyors. Get it start to finish. And half of it wasn't even installed as far as like electrical. Didn't do half of it. And so I had to ask for an electrician to stay by my side and do the things that I needed him to do while I commissioned it. We got it running, started and finished within 4 days. And that's a lot of work. I think I worked 96 hours, not in 4 days, but within that week. And so I'm saying this to say that I was done with it. I had it done and commissioned. And I seen my boss and his boss, they walk up because they hear something running. And they walk up and my boss's boss looks at me and goes, it's good to come here and see something that runs. And I was like, yeah. I'm glad you got to see that. So it really worked out well for me. And I was like, okay, good. I don't, it doesn't matter, and I'll say this, I had struggles and there was times I failed and there's times I succeeded, and glory to God in submitting myself, but it's true. God will raise you up. Right. And I don't care what comes to this job. I really don't. I'm happy where I'm at. I don't want to go up. I don't care. It's nice because God really, he means what he means. His promises are true. But then I want to say this. Y'all know, since I've been on these Zooms, I've been traveling pretty much all the time. And my boss came up to me that same day after all that. He said, can I have a meeting with you? I said, yeah. He said, let's do a year-end review. And I said, okay. So he says, Isaac, how much more can you travel? And I said, well, I'm kind of done with it, man. I said, but how much more do you need me to travel? And he said, could you do one more trip and be done for 7 months and stay home? I said, yeah, I can do that. So I'm done for like 7 months. I get to be home with my family. So that's pretty awesome. And y'all know, y'all see me on the road all the time. It's a blessing. I'm ready to be home.
I'm ready to have them home.
Yeah, that traveling gets old pretty quick. I had to do it for a lot of times too, but that's okay. You get to a point where you just stay at home, direct other people. Amen. All right, anyone else? Home sweet home, that's right. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else got something they'd like to talk about? Anybody got a question? Anybody just want to ramble on? Does everybody know the word from Genesis all the way to Revelation? Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Carol.
No rambling, but you got my attention when you talked about a Bible study. Is there a Bible study as well online that you guys or we can all do together, or is it just the Tuesday, Thursday night meetings?
We have, when I say a Bible study, we have a Wednesday local fellowship with the local people here in the UBM fellowship that okay. We have one that we're doing Faith for All Things. That's a good book. That's a good book. Good faith book.
Faith for All Things. Okay, I'll check it out.
Faith, that's a new one that they just came out with here a few months ago.
Well, I'm definitely determined to... this is the season to overcome anxiety because it definitely is coming out. And I'm like, So when all the prayers you gave was amazing and the authority, I think when Dave was talking about, and I realized, I think that's it, is that place where I get cornered and I need to be reminded, take that authority. And I'm like, oh yeah, thank God for the brethren, because we do, we slip and we forget. It just sneaks up in subtle little ways, but so thank you.
Amen. Yeah, we're learning. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, Carol, are you aware that there's a Wednesday recorded Bible study and a Sunday recorded Bible study on the UVM site? I don't know how familiar you are with the ministry.
No, I didn't know. So that would be actually really good. So, maybe how do I get to that? I guess Mike, you can send me a link, or I will look on the website.
Yeah, it's on the website. Look under archives, I believe okay. It is, and it'll say updates. Might say updates up at the top. I don't remember. Does anybody remember that? Updates is where they are.
Okay.
Do you have the website address at all, Carol?
I do, because that's how I found you guys. I actually found you when I prayed and I said, Lord, I really need to get into the body of Christ and find a body that knows your word and loves you like I do. And the word that came to me was the secret place. And that's how I found you. I Googled secret place and I stumbled on UBM. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just stumbled on it. Oh, okay.
I sure did. My Holy Spirit stumbled on it.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, your Bible studies on your Unleavened Bread site too, your Sunday and Wednesday, you just got to go to the Unleavened Bread Bible study, Carol, and they record it each week there. So you don't even have to participate in person. You can listen to the recordings each week.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Steve. Well, that brought up a plethora of hands here. I believe Geneva, you go first.
I was going to say, too, another easy way, if you have an iPhone, I'm sure any phone, but if you download Podbeam, I think Rion sent it too. Podbeam, you can, if you just type in Unleavened Bread Ministries, you can follow them, and then basically it'll pull up all the every Wednesday, Sunday. It'll pull them all up, and you just listen to them, and you can listen to the most recent one. That's what I did actually today because I missed last night, so I listened today. And Michael, what you said on there was really good, by the way. It blessed me today, just kind of about watching your tongue and things that we say and making sure that our words line up with the put the scripture. And anyways, it just made me think back, but I was blessed by that. But that's another easy way that you can do it, Carol.
Okay, can you repeat it? So it's Podbeam. I'm writing this down because I'm getting a lot of information. I want to get there.
Yeah, it's Podbeam. And then you just you go to where it says following, and you just type in Unleavened Bread Ministries.
Okay.
And then it'll pop up.
Amen.
Thank you.
Rion put it up on the chat there. He's got the link to it up on chat. You see where it says chat down there at the bottom? You click on that and you can scroll up and you can see where Rion put it on the chat too. Okay, Julie.
Carol, I would just add that if you go to the website and you go under the archives and you can go under the different subjects there, you can kind of tell by the name of the audio link what the teaching's about. So if there's something specific you're looking for, you can kind of go by the title as well. And there, I put it in the chat as well, a link right to that, to the archives, and a link to the update page.
We also have a YouTube channel. we got all kinds of good stuff. Who had the hand up? Pat, go ahead.
I think Vanita had her hand up.
Vanita did? Okay, Vanita, go ahead.
I'll go after.
Okay, yeah. I was going to mention the Podbean thing too, but Geneva beat me to it, so that's fine. But okay. I did want to mention also, I was scrolling through the website and I listened today to that message about civil disobedience. And that was just such a blessing to me today with everything that's going on. And I don't know, like before I came to UBM, you know, everybody in our church carries a gun and they're ready to fight for their rights. And and it's like, okay, that's not right, you know. So I've been listening to all that, you know, they've been going to the rallies, the Trump rallies when he was big, and just getting involved in all those worldly things. And when you listen to all the news, you're like, oh yeah, I want to support that, and you know, I'm against this and that. And it was just such a blessing to just listen and understand the difference between when it's right and when it's wrong. And I need to listen to it again. I can't ever pick everything all up the first time, so I need to go back and listen to it again, so I can be prepared for the times to come to follow the word of the Lord and not what the world says. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Pat, go ahead.
Anita, if you can, you post the link to that. I'm not sure what civil disobedience, what message you were listening to, but if you can find it, would you post it? I had something that I just wanted to, had to leave early, real early. I started working, relieving another person on another job, and I have to drive all the way to, well, I have to drive another part of the country here, and so I have to be over there at like 5:30 in the morning. Kind of shoots my schedule out of the. So anyway, I got up this morning and I just one scripture caught my mind and I just ran with it real quick for good. I only had about 5 minutes to go to work, but I wanted to know if anybody else sees this chapter as Psalm 91. I was kind of getting this sense today, and I was looking basically through the first part of the chapter, Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, whom I trust. He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Sorry, I'm reading this really fast, but and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings thou shalt take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And then it makes a transition right here. He said, for thou, O Lord, art my refuge. You have made the Most High thy habitation. And right there in that verse, it almost looks like the psalmist or David is saying, you, Lord Jesus, are my refuge. You have made the Most High your habitation. And it looks to me like it kind of makes a transition here that now we're talking about the Lord, and he's talking about what is happening now with the Lord, who has made the Most High Father his habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent, for he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and serpent thou shalt trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And the thing that I just wanted to say there is the thing that hit me was that I've always taken this psalm and applied it to myself. This is the promises, this is God's promises to me. And I don't know if it's me or whatever, but it probably is, but sometimes I feel inadequate to walk in that confidence. And I feel, you know, sometimes you feel like I gotta trust more, I gotta believe more, I gotta really get this in me and really believe it. But in that transition that I was speaking about there in verse 9, it in a way kind of relieves you from all the personal pressure of the requirement to, I don't know how to say this, but live up to that standard, that thing, when you don't feel like you can make it or whatever it is. But the point that I'm starting to see is it's not me that has to live up into this thing, but it is the Lord Jesus that lived it here. This is where he lived this and took it all the way through to the end. And it's simply my responsibility to abide in him, to be in him and to rest in him, because he's the one that does this process. So I don't know if I'm being very clear on this, but it just seems like it's verse 91:9 there, where it says, but you, Lord, art my refuge. You have made the Most High your habitation. And it just seems like it puts up me, it's a release for me just to learn to rest in Jesus, because he's the one that pulled this thing off. And all I can do is, the only thing I can do is believe and rest and trust. So I don't know if anybody else sees that psalm in that way, or has seen that, or maybe I'm just being too picky. I don't know. Anyway, I'll throw it out at that.
Go ahead, Claire.
On it, Pat, like that's how when I started meditating on that, only last year, really, when COVID hit. I mean, I knew the psalm, but I didn't take it in the way I think it intended to be taken in. And I noticed that change of how he's speaking, like who's speaking, And it brought tremendous comfort to me because I realized that it is nothing out of my own, but all Christ in me. And that is the greatest revelation, is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I think I feel the same as you. Thank you for saying it.
Amen. Being in the rest. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Anything anybody will talk about other than politics? Oh boy, this is going to be a good 30 minutes. Go ahead, Missy. What are you doing? You swatting flies?
I was swiping to see if Barbara was on because I only see who's talking on my main screen and I have to swipe over to see who all's there. Barbara. I thought Barbara had something, a good question. She said something to me the other day about, do you want to
I don't remember now how I put it. I'd have to look at your text. I'm sorry. I don't. Well, that was off guard there. What did I say to you? Oh, I was saying David said in the Bible study that there is a cost for every curse. So when the curse comes on us and we command it off of us by faith, but it's still there, then there's a reason for it, or we would overcome and it would manifest immediately. And then I said, that's how Michael believes too. He says it has to go, it has to go. So I guess I'm not understanding trial of our faith. I believe we are to overcome. I wish someone could explain that on the outreach or whatever. I was kind of talking with Vanita about that too. Or her and I were talking about that the other day. But I don't know. I guess that was my question.
Are you talking about praying for something that doesn't immediately happen?
Well, yeah, because David said on the Bible study last night, he said that there's a reason, there's a cause for every curse. So I'm thinking if the curse doesn't immediately leave off of you, like it should, then there must be something. But if I know I'm not walking in willful sin, because I'm not, I just expect that curse to go right away, immediately, right now when I said, go, you have to go. And It's like a big fight and a big battle. And Michael, you do that too. You tell it to go, it has to go. So If I'm wrestling around with it, then something's not right, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily, Barbara. A lot of times, I can, when you command it to go, remember what happened when Jesus prayed for the two blind, the blind man? Had to pray for him twice, didn't he? He had to pray for him twice. And if he had to pray for him twice, then if that thing is still hanging around, keep on getting after him. Keep until he goes. Remember when John Lake had those? I'm sorry?
The Lord's just wanting me to fight?
Yeah. Endure in your faith until that thing goes.
Enduring in my faith would be Yes, exactly. Yes, I believe it's done. So, Lord, you get them. You know, you get them. I'm standing here in faith, resting. You know, enough wrestling and fighting with it. You know.
No, that's fine. You listen. I always believe when I pray, and you probably do too. You said you did. That thing has got to go immediately. It has to go.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go, the only reason it can be, if there's no sin in your life, the only reason it can be is that the Lord is teaching you to endure in your faith. Keep on after that thing. Keep on after it. John Lake, let me just say this before we go any further on this. John Lake had those healing rooms up in, how do y'all pronounce it? It looks like Spokane. I think y'all call it Spokane or something like that. Kick the can, Spokane. Anyway, he had those rooms up there, and he would tell the victim, the person who needed healing, he'd tell them, you come here, you commit yourself to 30 days of praying, coming here and getting prayed for. And actually, they wouldn't pray. They just command. And they teach a little bit of faith. And he'd get in the word. That's what he would do. He'd get them in the word where their faith would be built up as well. And most of the time, the first day they'd go. The first day they'd go. Then it might be 2 days. Then it might be 3 days. And he had one guy come in for 28 days, and he didn't show up for the next day. And he called him, and he said, what's the matter? Don't you want to uphold your end of the bargain here, get rid of this thing? He said, it happened. He got rid of it last night. So and he had great success doing that. What happens sometimes, and it just doesn't happen to everybody. It doesn't take 30 days to do it most of the time. But what he would do, he'd build their faith up. He'd build the victim's faith up and the guy that were the divine healing technician's faith as well in doing it. Remember what the Lord says, you build your faith up by hearing the word. And if you hear the word all the time, when you hear the word, you're going to get faith, and that thing will have to go. It'll have to turn loose and go. But just because it didn't leave the first time somebody prayed, you know, don't get discouraged and think you're into sin or anything. You just check yourself. If you're not in sin, just keep on after that demon. And I know that what we've taught in the past, but look, if it's still there, get rid of it. Keep praying against it. Go ahead, Pat.
First of all, I agree with everything that Michael is saying, because I think it was David that mentioned something about, I think it was one of his children got hurt, a broken arm or something like that. And David's process is praying and believing and walking in it, done. And his wife was struggling over it, and she had to persevere with the Lord. She had to, what is it that we call, what's that type of prayer? Prayer of
importunity.
Importunity, yes. And of course, what David said is that God has given us that prayer of importunity to work through whatever it is that we have to work through inside before we come to that position of faith. But they both end up at the same place. It's always faith that it is done, it is accomplished. I unfortunately, my experience was not of the taking it. That's why I was so attracted to what Unleavened Bread and David's teaching. is because that was the first time that I had really seen and experienced that type of faith and fighting and standing it. This is it. This is a word. It's true. I'm standing it. I'm believing in it. And you persevere through that way. And I believe that that is the proper process, shall we say. However, and I always hate to say that, I don't want to bring up the word but I will say that when in my life, what I have experienced is that when how I interpreted what David was saying is if the curse causeless does not arise, it does not light, does not rest in your life unless there's a cause. And it may not be, at least I found it with me, it may not be a cause of willful sin, but it may be a place of ignorance that I may not be aware of yet. And unfortunately, I may not be aware of it, but many others might be aware of it, which is the benefit, number one, of coming into a body like this, of believers and people that love you. If they see something in your life and they can spot it, they can pray, they can intercede for you, they can bring maybe this thing out to light. And once you see it, and once you're able to identify it and pray specifically for it because you're aware of it now, sometimes that is the, shall we say, the foothold that the devil, I believe that when we pray in faith, again, that devil leaves, that demon leaves, has to go. But there is in a sense, a legal foothold that may exist in our soul that allows that influence to come back in your life, to use that position of ignorance to inflict certain things on your life, etc. Now, and so when the children of Israel went into, I can't remember where that scripture is at. I looked it up. I can't remember now. But there's a scripture. I think it was Moses. It was either Moses or it was Joshua. God was basically saying he's going to lead the children into this land, but he's not going to overtake all of it at once, because if he overtakes it, it destroys all the people or all the opposition in that land at one time, the beasts will come in and overtake the that area. So he has to take it systematically, one step at a time, one city at a time, etc. Hope I'm not running my mouth too much, but the same way I found in myself that sometimes when I'm walking with the Lord and he shows me something, he makes me aware of something in my life. And when I confess that and enter into that cleansing and go through that change and walk in that freedom and that release, sometimes I start to see other things that I'd never noticed before. So it's a growth, I found it as a growth process in me. And so when David's saying that the curse causeless does not alight, it doesn't mean you're guilty. It doesn't mean you're guilty and you're under condemnation and you should be, you know, you need to try harder or whatever it is. It just means that there's a cause. There's something there. And so we just need to trust the Lord. this is not his first rodeo to bring us through into a new life and a new awareness. And the thing is God isn't interested in just getting our toe in the door and over the line here. He wants to perfect us and clean all this thing out and claim all of that land, so that our whole soul and our whole heart and our whole life is free to rest in Christ, that he may be unlimited, have no restraints in what he wants to do in living out his life within us. So it's not a place of condemnation, but there may be a cause there. So I don't know if I'm maybe overkilling it or over explaining it or whatever, but this has been my experience. And again, I think that even if we have to go through this process, it all still ends in faith. There's always a point there at the end where you say, oh, all right, Lord, this is yours. I understand it, and cast it down and settle the point. But anyway, that's all. Sorry, I didn't mean to take so much time.
That's okay. I just wanted to relay something to you now. You remember when David got hurt? When he fell off the ladder? Broke his shoulder bone? Crushed his shoulder bone, shoulder joint. That wasn't an overnight success. That was many weeks of praying. And that's why I say, just keep on persevering. You know, of course you're going to question, and you look, and you decide, no, there's no sin in my life. Just keep plugging away at it. That's all you do. It's a trial of your faith. Are you going to give up? A lot of people give up a day before they get the healing. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. Don't give up. Just keep getting after it. Did you have something related to what we're talking about here, Julie?
Yeah, I did. I put a link in the chat to one of the teachings about endurance in your faith to endure to obtain the promise, and just what Michael just said, that a lot of people give up. And, you know, and David, I remember saying in that teaching, it's like, you know, I just hate seeing that people just give up believing and persevering and keep going forward. And I remember David saying at least once or twice about how, you know, those instant manifestations of healing or deliverance, that kind of thing, they are awesome and they're great faith builders. And you see God work and does a really, you know, quick thing. But then there's those trials of your faith that you go through that don't happen right away, that you have to learn that patience thing and trusting God and believe in the promises. And for myself personally, it's the battle is up here in your mind. It's overcoming the mind of the flesh and overcoming the lies of the devil, who will accuse you that you must be doing something wrong, because that scripture, he would use and twist the scriptures, and he would use that scripture against me. Well, if the curse alighteth not without a cause, you must be doing something wrong. There must be some sin that you know, but it's like, well, I can't think of anything. And, you know, if you're not aware of anything, if God's not showing anything about sin, then you're not. And you have to learn, I've had to learn to fight the good fight of the faith, cast those lies down, pick up my sword, learn to use all of the armor, not get moved by what I feel, what it looks like, what it, you know, is in the natural, and just use and learn to fight. It is not easy. And also that perfecting work God is doing by your patience, let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and entire, and you're not going to lack anything. And you can look behind you once you get through these long trials, whatever trial you might be in, for your family, yourself, a deliverance, a provision, a healing, you'll be able to look back and say, it started here and it took this long, but look what I learned between when it started and when it ended. Look how much I learned, and look how I had to learn how to fight. I didn't know how to fight in the kingdom. I had to learn how to
use my sword. I had learned to discern the thoughts, where they were coming from, and not get moved by what I was feeling. Because, you know, when it hurts, I know what you're saying, Barbara, when it hurts, it's a distraction. It's like, it, you can't focus on and meditate on the word, and you can't do the things you want and what you'd like to do, because that's just and it's also learning to rest and believing and rest. And so it's all learning. We're all learners. Disciple is a learner and a follower, right? And we're all learning to be those disciples that Jesus called us to be, that he is faithful. And, you know, and sometimes it's not easy, you know. Narrow is the way. It's straight, it's narrow, it's hard. You're pressed on every side, stricken down, beaten, you know, beat up by the enemy. It's not easy, but it is enduring and not giving up. That's the big thing. And unless there's condemnation for willful sin, it has no place there.
Amen. Go ahead, amen. Steve. Let me get you while you've been up for a while.
I've found like you can have the prayer of faith and get that instant thing, but often, like if you do have that door open, it's just going to come back. So you can get an instant fix. And then if you haven't dealt with the repentance or whatever it is, it'll come back upon you because the door's still open. So it'll definitely come back. So I find often you'll be praying for freedom in some area of your life, but God wants to show you before he heals you the open door. And I find often that it comes under what I call, or what God calls, the law of liberty in Christ. You know, Paul says, walk as those under the law of liberty. And so often, you know, Jesus said, you know, as you forgive, you're forgiven. As you judge, you are judged. As, you know, so in the mercy you show, that'll be shown to you. The grace you give, you'll get grace. So often I think, We sit there praying, waiting. But God, when you pray that prayer, God, I cast this demon out and this bondage, I repent of it. But then God will set about showing you an area of your life where you're holding someone responsible, or you're judging them, or somewhere where you haven't quite forgiven. So, you know, our freedom actually lies, I believe, in as we set other people free and as we give other people grace, that's the manner, that's basically the flow of the Holy Spirit through us, right? And we're sitting there trying to escape some bondage, but we're still holding someone accountable in a similar area in our own heart or mind. We don't know it. So God, I believe, shows us. So we pray even the prayer of importunity. We're praying, and he's saying, look at this, look what you're doing. You're still holding this person accountable. You're doing the same thing for them. And so the prayer of importunity that David sort of talks about, I believe, is like God gradually shows you where you're doing this yourself. And so as you walk in the law of liberty in Christ Jesus, which is giving people grace and giving people forgiveness, because that's what we want. But then our liberty is to give grace, mercy, you know, forgiveness to other people. And that is what sets us free as we learn to do that. So often I think God won't give us that instant healing because he wants to show us these places where we're still, you know, and that causes the death to self as you stop judging other people. And as we all know, as soon as you become a believer, the whole demonic kingdom set upon you through all the people around you, and you have to forgive them all. So gradually this is bringing a death to yourself, and I believe that's a lot of the time why we don't get instant healing, because God wants to show us where we're walking in these things toward other people. So as we get set free, he's showing us, all right, here's how you get set free. And that's by usually stop judging other people and forgive other people. And we know how hard that can be. So, yeah.
Amen.
I hear what you're saying and everything, but suppose.
Go ahead, Barbara.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I know you had something to say. I'm just messing with you.
Oh, well, I know I'm trying to remember everybody what everybody's saying, but what Steve was saying, suppose that isn't true for me. You know what I mean? Like I'm still befuddled. Like I heard Pat, I heard Julie, you know, I heard Steve. Well, I'm still like befuddled because the only thing I could attribute it up is I don't have faith. I mean, obviously, I guess I don't, like, I always check my heart all the time, constantly. And I don't have any unforgiveness towards anybody. And I'm not judging anybody. And if the wrong thought does come into my mind immediately, I cast that out because.
Have you read Tongue Conquers the Curse?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So, you know.
You do have faith. You have the faith of Christ.
Remember the other night y'all prayed for me? You prayed for my back and that pain to get off my back, and it left. Mm-hmm. It did leave. And I knew it left. I mean, no, I was good with it all. But you know what? After we got off the conference or after we got off the thing, it came back. And I don't know why it came back. I mean, I have no clue.
Well, because let me say something here. I understand what you're saying, Barbara. I understand where you're going with this. What our job is to do what? Once that thing is gone, we have to fill up that room with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We can't just sit around and think. I'm not saying that you're doing this. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to get any condemnation or anything like that.
I was just trying to go to bed.
But put the word in there, and if he tries to come back, he's going to do that. He's going to go out there and do a wheelie and come back and try to get in back where his old house was. All our job is then at that time says, nope, I don't receive that. You get gone. We prayed the prayer of faith. Now you get gone. You have to rebuke it at that point in time. And he has to obey. Okay.
I did. I did that. But now the next day, it was totally gone after that. But I fought with that thing all night. And I did. I stood on my ground. I says, look, we all prayed for you. You have to leave. You have no right in my body. You have to go. And, you know, I was trying not to feel it, you know, because I heard someone say, oh, you got to ignore it. It's kind of hard to ignore the pain. But anyways, I was trying to do that, and I fought with that thing. I didn't waver. I knew it had to be gone. I knew it was gone. But the lying symptom was there. And so anyways, I wrestled with it all night. You know, Lord, I kept saying, Lord, help me get some sleep. And he did. You know, he allowed me to get a couple hours of sleep. And the next day, you know,
I'll tell you what,
it left. It finally left after that.
Okay. Praise God. And it's gone.
It is gone. I know. It is gone. I mean, that's that one. There's others.
All right. Let's just see what Missy has to say here, real quick. We've run out of time.
I'd like a show of hands. How many people? And I don't expect everybody, you know, this to be the case with everybody, but I'm willing to bet that most of the people in this room have something that they're standing in faith for years. And it's just a trial of your faith. It's, you know, it's all it is. It's a trial of your faith. It's to strengthen you to fight and to be dogmatically insistent, persistent, and not receive lies from the enemy. And it's just to strengthen us, to teach us to fight and not be double-minded for 1 minute. And I think every one of us can say that, you know, we've lost the battle because we gave in and then we have to start over. But don't feel condemned. It's just, it's part of learning. Unfortunately, as much as we hate to fail, sometimes it's our best teacher. You know, there's no condemnation, you know, and it's just learning to fight and standing to fight and not let the enemy have the upper hand for 1 minute. So that's just what I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. Isaac, go ahead.
Well, you're good, Michael. Caught me.
I got a memory like a steel trap, brother.
Okay. I don't know that I can really speak on Barbara's situation, but I can tell a situation of my own that maybe will help Barbara. You know, it's not necessarily one that has to do with, like, you know, your body, I don't guess. But I know for the longest time, man, for a year or more, I've been having dreams about the harlot all the time, all the time. And it's like, man, gosh, I wake up. Great job, Isaac. Well, you done messed up again, you know, all the time. And I'll say it like this. It plagued me, okay, for the last better part of the year. I do get good dreams too every now and then. And some people will have good dreams for me, make me feel better. But I still get these harlot dreams. And I'm saying that to say this. Just here recently, and I know I've heard what David said. I know the rest. I know I've heard these things. But for some reason, I don't want to apply it. I don't know why. But it just dawned on me. I can't get him to go away. So I just started saying, because I was trying to find the reason. Well, this is the harlot mind. Well, that's the harlot mind. Well, this is it. Well, that's it. And I'm racking my brain thinking, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to figure this thing out. I just got to keep on working at it. Keep on staying steady. We'll figure it out. And just here recently, and you know what it does for me? It gives me more harlot dreams. So I just started saying this. It's simple. God, you have overcome harlot for me in my life. You've done it. And you know what? Here recently, this harlot's been getting overcome in my dreams. I've been casting her aside. And I tell you, man, whatever that's worth, just say it. And here's the thing.
I'm off base. Hang with me. Microphone. Oh, hang on, my microphone.
Powering on. Welcome to All Tech Lansing.
For that brand, it's not a good one. Anyways, so back to what I was saying, you know, basically, it's this. You know, I was fighting it, you know, fighting it too, you know, trying to figure out a way for it to get out of here. Now I just start thanking him. You know, I'm not fighting anymore. I just thank him that he's already overcome the harlot for me. You know, I just thank him. I'm going to continue to thank him. And I guess that's a, figure out what you want to take from it. That's all I can say. But I hope my situation, yeah, thank you. And I hope my situation will help you. But I just wanted to speak on my behalf and maybe you can grab something out of it.
Amen. Go ahead, George.
I just wanted to say I've been getting a revelation lately that none of us is going through a solo trial. We're not meant to be alone in our battles. That God, even when Jesus told them how to pray, he said, "Our Father in heaven, you know, deliver us from evil." And that we're living stones being fit together. And when we confess our sins to one another, when we confess our infirmities, our weaknesses, and share our burdens, that it's when that prayer of agreement also is necessary, because everybody goes through a weakness of faith or a time of doubt or any kind of attack, but we're supposed to all be in constant battle together. And God doesn't want us looking at ourselves as a single journey, a single salvation, because we need to, he's not coming back until we are a full body in fullness, a completed spotless bride. And that can't happen with one person winning the victory. And I just have getting a revelation on that, that if I feel like I'm not going through a trial, I better go find somebody else's and help them with theirs. And when I've gone through some recently myself, you want to talk about tap dancing through the night, trying to get sleep, and reaching out and listening to videos of people who have gained victory and faith and praising God and doing battle. Sometimes you don't have the strength to do the battle, but our brothers and sisters and those who have gone before us have already celebrated the victory that we're trying to gain victory on. So you just have to keep grabbing faith wherever it is, because the body's full of faith. And when you don't have some, it's still available through our brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad you voiced that, George. That is awesome. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of us doing that now. All right. Who was it? Steve or Claire? Any minute. Go ahead, Claire. I'll let the ladies go first. I'll get right with you, Steve.
Thank you, Michael.
You're most welcome.
I just wanted to ask, I think I would imagine, and you can just say yes or no, or you don't have to answer, but does David ask for prayer?
Let me get this. What'd you say? Make it real clear because I can get this on recording. What'd you say?
Does David Eel ask for prayer?
Of course he does.
So why don't we? Why do we think that Amen. We have to be in our hole, all alone, Amen. In various parts of the world, fighting this thing on our own? If David Eel was humble enough to ask the people around him to pray for him, then my goodness, we can do the same thing, because that faith is available to all believers. Just Amen. A thought.
Absolutely does. Everybody does. Amen. I like that, Claire. We all need to have each other. All right, go ahead, Steve. Thank you, Claire.
I'll be nice and quick. I think another thing is, like, once we get a fair bit of the truth and we know about deliverance and the demons and the negative feelings, emotions, they're all demonic. And so once we learn that, I think we get a little bit self-sufficient sometimes as well. And as David regularly preaches, God brings us to weakness, So sometimes we get so concentrated on doing it all ourselves with our mighty power of deliverance and prayer and praying for each other, even that, when you're under a lot of pressure, you tend not to want to go to God sometimes when the pressure's really on you. Because if there's, a lot of demonic oppression and stuff like that. So I think God, you'll try and do it yourself and you'll start losing your intimacy with God. And so God will let you keep doing it in your own effort for as long as you choose to, but you'll get weaker and weaker and weaker because those demons just keep attacking you, And God's trying to say it's not by your strength, not by your might, it's by my Holy Spirit. And so I think sometimes we get to the point where we're getting a bit self-confident and we start doing it all ourselves, and then we forget that it's in God's grace. So God lets us fail, and eventually realize, eventually we have no choice. We have to humble ourselves, really humble ourselves before God, and then he helps us. And then all of a sudden you feel like $1 million again. So I think sometimes that's the reason we forget to draw close to God. We forget the intimacy.
Amen. That's exactly right. All right. We're out of time. We can carry this on. Yeah, pride is what that is, Carol. Go ahead, Judy. Get you one last time.
I'll just add to what Steve just said. That was good. And we go through those things, and we do become, you know, feeling oppressed and humbled and this and that. And, you know, but, you know, like all of us, then we cry out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy. You know, he doesn't leave us down. He always lifts us up. He's our glory and the lifter up of our head. He doesn't want us to stay down. He wants us, after we get rid of the sin, to remember to confess Jesus, confess the word, confess he took all that away. And he doesn't hold any of that stuff against us. It's gone. That's what Jesus paid for. Amen.
Amen. Well, okay. It's been good. We can keep on talking about faith next Tuesday night. I think it's a good topic. There's a lot to be said about healing faith, delivering faith, all of that. So we'll just continue on Tuesday night, get your questions together, and we'll see what we can come up with. I love it. But we're learning. We all need a lot of faith, don't we? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you. That's right. I thank you, Lord, that you are placing in us that faith in you, not in ourselves, but in you. We praise you, Father, for doing that, because we want to trust you implicitly in our walk, Lord. We want to know that when we pray that you're going to answer, and you're doing it, we're seeing it, and we praise you for it, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you will at times give us that those trials for us to be overcomers as well, and not to get discouraged, and but to reflect on what we've been doing and to make sure everything's okay. And if it's okay, all we need to do then is to pray against it. And we thank you for it, Father. And get a prayer partner if you need to. Ask the most powerful prayer right there. And Father, we thank you for doing that for all of us. Be with us. Protect us. Give us all a good night's sleep too. And Lord, we thank you for getting rid of this mask mandate garbage and the COVID-19 vax stuff too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Megan, go ahead. I'm going to let you go ahead. Let me